It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Just ahead, housing costs are eating a larger share of income for many rural communities as utility bills rise.
To me, it's more of an epidemic. I've seen bills as high as $1,400 to $1,600 a month.
We'll have that story from the Ohio Valley Resource just ahead. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. In nearly one-third of Ohio Valley counties, low-income residents are paying 20% or more of their income in utility bills. Energy costs are making housing harder to afford in some rural places where incomes are not keeping pace. As part of a series on rural housing, reporter Sydney Bowles takes us to eastern Kentucky, where the cost burden is among the highest. She found a community working to keep their old Kentucky homes affordable.
I gotta go on with that.
Tony Brown and Joe Oliver are on their elbows and knees underneath a house in Letcher County, Kentucky. They're testing for places where heat might be leaking out.
So, Tony, I'm really starting to wonder about this upstairs line set we've been discussing. Something weird's going on!
Brown and Oliver are conducting an energy audit with the nonprofit program Appalachia Heat Squad. They're looking for cost-effective ways for this homeowner to lower their energy bills. Here's Appalachia Heat Squad project manager James Cottle.
To me, it's more of an epidemic. I've seen bills as high as $1,400 to $1,600 a month.
The cost of a unit of energy isn't particularly high in the Ohio Valley, but the energy cost burden, how much of a person's income is spent on energy, is a lot higher than in other regions. West Virginia and eastern Kentucky are particularly hard hit. In some eastern Kentucky counties, the average resident is paying as much as 40% of their income in energy bills. Part of that is the housing stock.
There's a multitude of older mobile homes that were not specifically built for this climate. You have older homes, and you know, you don't have a lot of qualified contractors that are building the homes.
Cuddle says low-income residents are more likely to live in substandard housing, and substandard housing costs more to heat. So the people with the highest energy bills are the people who can least afford to pay them. Those high bills have an impact. A recent survey from the National Energy and Utility Affordability Institute, an advocacy organization, found that of people who received federal assistance for energy costs, 6% became homeless or moved into a shelter, and 17% moved out of their homes to live with friends or family. Gwen Johnson grew up in a coal town, and she says the housing in coal communities wasn't designed for electric heat.
And they were just built out of slats and plaster. And so they were really cold. And the windows were just single pane, not very well caulked. And in the wintertime, the wind would blow and the curtains would fan.
Johnson runs the Hemphill Community Center in Jackhorn, Kentucky. She opens the center as a warming station in winter for people who can't heat their homes.
We had showers installed so that when folks have power outages or they have no power, they can come here and warm.
Andrew Melnikovich is a spokesperson for the Kentucky Public Service Commission. He says rural Appalachian ratepayers are also hit by the loss of industrial energy consumers.
The utility's got certain fixed costs that it's going to have to pay regardless of how much power it's producing. And if you have fewer industrial and commercial customers to help share that burden, that shifts those fixed costs over to the residential customers.
Melnikovich says Kentucky Power, which covers much of eastern Kentucky, has lost 26% of its industrial load since 2010, more than every other Kentucky utility except one.
Under Kentucky statutes and under the statutes in virtually every state, the ability of consumers to pay the bills is not a factor in the rate-making process.
Even as residential consumers are footing more of the bill, many utilities have cut back on energy efficiency programs that might have helped people in Jackhorn afford their bills. Johnson says until this month, power bills were the Hemphill Community Center's biggest expense. She worried she might have to close down. The community center went solar this month. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Sydney Bowles in Jackhorn, Kentucky.
On a recent Inside Appalachia podcast, we explore issues facing seniors as well as their caretakers. Caring for a loved one as they age can be incredibly demanding. This morning, we'll hear an excerpt from the episode, a story produced by a young woman about her own family's experience trying to navigate the system for elderly assistance. Michaela Holloway lives in San Francisco, but her story is similar to what many here in Appalachia face as they try to care for their loved ones.
3 years ago, my grandpa suffered a major stroke. He was in a coma for a week. Even his own doctor thought he would never recover. Then he got better. But unfortunately, he became paralyzed on his right side. My mom devoted her time to taking care of my grandpa.
Mr. Holloway used to be on a diet of ice cream, cake, and any other fatty food that he thought he could get. But because of his paralysis, and he is bedbound.
My mom was forced to turn grandpa's house into a hospital. We got a wheelchair, a hospital bed, and she even set up charts.
Every morning we take his blood sugar, and we also set up his medication. The first pill he takes is something for his acid reflux, as that has been an issue. And in the past, he does that 30 minutes before any meal.
It's expensive to take care of my grandpa. Only generic medications are covered by his insurance. Then there's the little things, like adult diapers, wipes, and other supplies that he needs on a daily basis.
We were going through those supplies much quicker. We ran out, so then it became to a point of an out-of-pocket expense. And we don't have the finances to support out-of-pocket expenses.
My mom has pretty much put her life on hold just to make sure that her father receives the best care possible. It's taken a big toll on her bank account.
The financial pack that I have incurred since taking care of my dad has been enormous. Unfortunately, during the last 2.5 years that I have been inside my parents' home and trying to manage their finances, I have been stressed out as to how to manage my own with limited income.
Every day, I hear my mom get frustrated on the phone with the insurance and medical companies.
Hello, may I speak with someone with regards to my father's health benefits? Yes, my name is Margot Holloway. I'm the daughter of Johnson Holloway, one of your clients. Yes, can I give you his home telephone number so you can look up his file?
My mom says that it's hard to find proper care for my grandpa because of the high cost. She constantly talks about how the healthcare system should change.
You may hire someone to come into the home with the finances that you have. It may work out, it may not. Then you have to see how else can you financially support that person in the home, especially if everyone else, many family members, have their own jobs and employment and careers to address and to take care of in their own family, in their own households.
I even started working at Albertsons 28 hours a week and Nordstrom's 15 hours a month to help out. It's very hard balancing work and school assignments. When I leave school, I go straight to work and normally don't get done until late.
Can I have your preferred card?
I'll put in my phone number.
All right.
Even though I'm helping the best I can, it's not enough. My mom says that my grandpa is too rich to be poor and too poor to be rich. He's stuck in the middle. My grandpa does get some help a few times a month. There's a nurse that comes by, but it's hard to get help regularly because my mom would have to pick up the bill. My grandpa used to get visits from a nurse a few days a week. That was picked up by his insurance. But he doesn't qualify anymore because the eligibility rules keep changing. Ruth Payne is my grandpa's former nurse who now works in the administrative side of the medical field. She doesn't have an answer why my grandpa is stuck in the middle.
I find that the system, for those who don't know how to go about things, sometimes don't get the care that's necessary or don't know how to use the care that's necessary. I think that's very unfair, but that's our culture also. Our younger families are not taking care of their older relatives. And I think that our institutions tend to ignore what happens and we just, throw up our hands.
But I don't want to just throw up my hands. My grandpa has always been there for me.
Doing all right today?
Yeah.
How you feeling?
Feel good.
Feel good?
I remember when I was little, sitting in the kitchen drinking coffee with him. He gave me everything I ever needed. For someone who served his time in the Army, he's struggling too hard. To see him in a position where he can't help himself hurts. It shouldn't be that way. In San Francisco, I'm Michaela Holloway.
That story was produced for NPR's Next Generation Radio. which is a project that highlights stories reported and produced by college journalists. You can hear our series about aging and resources available for seniors and their caretakers on the latest Inside Appalachia podcast. Find it at wvpublic.org or wherever you get your podcasts. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:53. Patchy fog this morning, becoming mostly sunny today with highs in the 80s. Mostly clear overnight with lows in the 60s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy skies, a chance of rain and thunderstorms with highs in the 80s. Support for the weather forecast is provided by Jaeger Airport, CRW, West Virginia's gateway to the world. More at JaegerAirport.com. This morning, we have another story from our occasional series, Showcasing Youth Writers. Today, we have a fifth grader who lives here in West Virginia. Casey Cutright won first place among fifth graders in West Virginia Public Broadcasting's 2019 Writers Contest. Her story is about how her dog perceived changes associated with homeschooling.
Hi, I'm fifth grader Casey Cutright. From Motesville, West Virginia, I won first place in West Virginia Public Broadcasting Writing Contest with my story titled Cutright Family Experiments from My Point of View. First, I had to come up with the idea of my story, and I thought, hey, what if I wrote a story about my dog? And my dad thought that was a great idea, so I did. I wrote a story about how I thought my dog was thinking about how we were home all the time instead of at school 8 hours a day, and how she felt about my mom and my dad with me and my brother all the time instead of with her. So I thought about that, and I thought about how she thought, how what the perks were for her and what the cons were for her. Hello, my name is Georgia, and I am a four-year-old 75-pound golden doodle. I am not supposed to shed, but I do. My family says I have anxiety issues. I also don't like change. Call me old-fashioned, but I don't like it, especially in my own home. Yet, we are conducting an experiment of homeschooling for 1 year. Just last year, my days were heavenly. My routine was comfortable and predictable. I could lounge around while my little sister Casey and even littler brother Dorsey were at school. I would play with Mommy and Daddy until 3:26 in the afternoon. Then I would walk on sunny days or ride shotgun in the four-wheeler down our lawn driveway to fetch them from the bus. I adored those four-wheeler rides. When anyone jingled the side-by-side keys, I would refuse to let them out of my sight. When I heard the rev of the engine, I'd sprint toward it. I would jump in, hog the front seat, and my family would burst out laughing. I never understood that. But now the kids are home all the time. I have noticed some perks to them being around all day. Now, when they are not doing school lessons, we get to play a lot. We do bubbles, irresistible soap balls that come out of a magical wand. We enjoy what they call Georgia skating. They both put on their roller blades and I put on my fancy harness and elegant leash. One skates ahead with the magical wand, and the other one holds onto my lovely leash as I rush ahead after the bubbles. Sometimes I don't even know we're about to do bubbles. They spell out random letters like B-U-B-B-L-E-S. And the next thing I know, the magic wand is in their head and I'm outside chasing bubbles. Another benefit I enjoy is unlimited sledding. My favorite time of the year is when it's cold outside and the ground is covered in white stuff. My brother and sister put their warm gear on and head out with their sleds to our mammoth hill. When they start gliding down, I follow close. I race down the hill at full speed. I try pulling them off their sleds to save them from injury. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Once they are stopped at the bottom, I nip and tug at their gloves, trying to remove them. For some reason, every time I do either of these, they yell at me. I mean, I'm saving them. They can be so ungrateful. When this experiment began, I thought the kids should go back to school. Homeschooling is not my favorite thing. Don't tell anyone, but I kind of like having them around. Oh, and I still get to ride in the four-wheeler when Mom or Dad pulls them on their sleds or around the farm and up and down our hill. I still resist change, but this homeschooling thing is not so bad. I was worried about nothing. Maybe a little change is good.
That was Casey Cutright reading her award-winning story, Cutright Family Experiences, from My Point of View. Casey won first place among fifth graders in West Virginia Public Broadcasting's 2019 Writers' Contest. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.